Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Phoenix Solar conference call with the presentation of the first quarter results 2011. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Dr. Andreas Haenel, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Solar AG. Dr. Haenel, you may now begin.
Yes, hello everybody. Thank you for joining the first quarter results conference calls of Phoenix Solar. I'd like to excuse Sabine Kauper, our CFO, who usually joined this conference call. She had an accident and she's not available today, but she will be back in the office next week. You should have all have the presentation in front of you, so I move on to page 4, which gives you an overview about the key figures of the first results of the first quarter results. Overall, we had a quarter with very weak revenue and very weak EBIT. We have seen significant declines in revenue and EBIT. Overall, I would say it's very disappointing according to the expectations. The only positives I like to mention is the again significant improvement of the international business. So this has moved forward by almost 220% from 7.3 million in the first quarter 2010 to 23.3 million in the first quarter 2011. And also positive is that the equity ratio is slightly better than in the previous year's quarter. The market development, I simply want to, I think it doesn't make very much sense to go into the specific market details, but I'd like to highlight some general trends, as there are that still by far more than 50% of the worldwide market takes place in Europe. And as you know, Europe's key markets are Germany, Italy, France, and Spain. And there are also a couple of promising markets, like, for example, the UK, where there has been a lot of expectations about market growth in 2011, both in the small scale and in the large scale business. What we have experienced in the first quarter was that basically all major European markets have been threatened by partly unexpected feed-in tariff cuts. Some of them have been accepted. One of them has already even been initiated by the solar industry, and this was the case in Germany. And we will now see an additional cut in 1st of July, and we have seen some 13% cut in the beginning of January 2011. As this has been not fully compensated by price declines so far, this led to a very slow demand in Germany in the first quarter. We have seen a moratorium in France, which lasted from December 2010 to March 2011, and it was applicable for all projects above 3 kilowatts, so the market basically was on hold for 3 months. And also the Italian market was on hold due to very lengthy discussions about changes to the FIT. As you know, the final decision was taken on the 5th of May, and we do expect a significant stimulation of the Italian market situation in the next weeks. But also this promising market, UK, has seen some FIT cut announcements just a couple of weeks ago. It's not finally concluded yet, but it will have a material effect on potential realizations of larger projects in UK. And you may also know that some other very large significant markets in Europe last year, like Spain and in particular the Czech Republic, have come out with some retroactive changes of the FIT program. So overall, the first quarter provided some very challenging environment. What does it mean for more concrete numbers of Phoenix Solar? What does it mean for the sales in the first quarters, and what projects have we realized or have we started in the first quarter? If you compare on page 8 the yearly development of the module sales, we see a significant growth of the module sales with an average growth rate of 80% from 2006 to 2010, which is more a tenfold increase of megawatt sales. If you have a look at the right-hand part of the slide, which gives you the megawatts sold in the first quarter, we see that the first quarter volumes are down by 51% from 37 megawatts in the first quarter 2010 to 18 megawatts in the first quarter 2011. I would say that the current market situation in 2011 can't be compared to the market situation which we had back in 2010. In 2010, there was already a strong rush starting in the first quarter, leading to the end of June, expecting significant feed-in cuts of the 1st of July. This is not the case in this year for two reasons. First of all, we will see some additional cuts on the 1st of July this year, but I do expect that these cuts will be either 3% or 6%, and it's highly unlikely that these cuts will be higher. And for the time being, most of the customers do not exactly know where the cuts are going to be. So that means there's no real movement to realize plants in the first and second quarter in Germany at the moment. If we compare the numbers to the module sales in 2009, it turns out that there has been 20% more of sales in 2011, because I believe what we currently see on the market, in particular in Germany, the 2011 situation can be well compared to the situation which we had back in 2009. What did the project business do in Germany? If we move on to page 9 of the presentation, basically all projects which we are currently realizing, they are done outside Germany. It doesn't mean that we have completely withdrawn from the German market. There will be some realization starting in the second quarter, but most of the projects which we have announced will be realized outside Germany. One of them is a 3.5 megawatt installation for Saudi Aramco, which has been signed in the first quarter and which is currently under construction. The second project is a project in Italy which we haven't officially announced. This is a 2.7 megawatt plant with MIA Sole modules for E.ON Climate and Renewables. This adds up to the projects which we have announced end of last year. And we have also two projects in France under construction, which is a 1.7 megawatt solar park in La Rochelle, which we realize for LHI, and a second 12 megawatt project where the contract has been signed in April 2011, which is being realized for amongst others for KGL. So this shows clear, I would say, a diversification from the German market. So we are looking more for large scale project opportunities outside Germany. If we move on to the financials, we do see, you can see that on the right-hand side of the slide, we have seen that significant reduction of revenues by almost 60%, down from 80.4 to 32.4 million euros. I already pointed out that is not comparable to what happened in 2010 due to the pull-in effect. It's more comparable to 2009, and also as a general trend, having after 4.5 weeks, months have passed in 2011, I in the meantime do believe that we will see a similar seasonality in 2011, which compares to 2007, 8, and 9, where we see very weak Q1s and increasingly stronger quarters over the year, with the fourth quarter being the strongest one. So the seasonality will significantly differ from the seasonality of 2010. We have seen in the meantime a slight improvement of the market situation in the second quarter. April was still comparatively weak, but in May now we do significantly more, we see more momentum on the German and on the European market. What does it mean for the international sales of Phoenix Solar? And I'd like to highlight that with slide 12. This graph shows you the development of the German and international and sales outside Germany, which is the blue part of the columns. And this first quarter, we have seen the highest international revenue ever reached with Phoenix of about 72%. This has, of course, one reason. One reason is the very weak market situation in Germany, which brought international sales to a very high level. But it also it's also another reason that the total sales were up very significantly by a factor of 3, from 7.3 million to 23.3 million. And the most important markets for these international sales were components and systems business in France and power plant business in Italy and Greece. The group earning situation developed very poorly, very clearly poorly in the first quarter. We have seen an EBIT loss of 16.5 1.9 million euro. This is really an issue, and this is a heavy backpack for the start of the year. I do not fear too much, let's say, the loss in or the reduction in revenue, because the experience also clearly shows that there were a couple of years in the past 5 years where 50% of total revenues were made in the fourth quarter, and that the first quarter only contributed between 5 and 12% to the total yearly sales. So this can still be improved in the following quarters, but 16.9 million euro EBIT, that's an issue where we have to deal with in the next quarters. The reasons for this high EBIT loss is caused by, I would say, three main factors. One is depreciation of inventories in the order of 6.1 million euro due to the fact that the sales price has moved below the purchase price, that we have startup costs in the United States of about 1 million euro, which is fully allocated to the power plant business, and that in the last 1-2 years, the fixed cost block has been increased, and with this low revenue generated in the first quarter, leading to very significant EBIT losses. The situation in the components and systems business doesn't look better in the first quarter. 2011, also here, sales moved down by 58%. They moved down very significantly from 54 million to 70 million euros, which is a very significant reduction and is a clear indication of the weakness of the German market. However, the sales of components and systems business outside Germany have significantly increased, also here, an improvement also in absolute terms. Nonetheless, the components and systems segment has significantly suffered from inventory write-downs and also from the reduced margin situation in the European markets. In the power plant segment, we have seen revenues moving down by 42.3% to 15.4%, which is also unacceptably low, compares to the first quarter of 2010 with around 27 million euros. However, the gap is, let's say, only 10 million euros. I think this can be optimized and improved in the quarters to follow. But also the EBIT here, the EBIT contribution is highly negative with 9.2 million euro. A part of that, as I already indicated, has to be allocated to the market situation, or let's say the startup costs of the subsidiary in the United States. The outlook for the power plants business looks, I would say, quite positive. We have a couple of projects in Europe, in the United States and in Asia, under contract negotiations, and the number of the projects in total are close to 100 megawatt. So I do expect a significant improvement in the quarters to come see a significant improvement by the end of the year. If we have a look to the order backlog on slide 16, the order backlog has also significantly moved down compared to 2010, which is not amazing, which is also depends on the pull-in effect in 2010, where a lot of orders have been placed in the expectation to finalize small, mid, and large-scale projects by the end of June. This pull-in effect we don't have this year, which leads to, in a consequence, to much lower order backlog. But if we take a more near-term comparison and compare the order backlog by the situation end of 2010, there has been an improvement of about 20 million euros in order backlog. We have also seen after the end of the second quarter further improvements, and in the meantime, by, let's say, yesterday, the order backlog was significantly above 200 million euros total by power plants and component systems business, which is again an improvement versus the end of the first quarter. If we have a closer look at the working capital situation on slide 17, we have seen a quite nice improvement of the working capital ratio, which stood at 21.8% at the end of last year, and which has improved to 20.6% 5% at the end of the first quarter. That's still too high from our point of view, so we very much like to be in the range of 18 to 20%, but it's not too far away from the situation which we had at the end of Q3 2010, where we have reached a working capital ratio of 19.9%. Also, the operating cash flow situation has improved to some extent. It's still highly negative, but much better than the situation at the end of last year. And it has been influenced negatively by a further increase of inventory of about 25 million euros, but positively by a decrease of the trade payables in the order of 34.6 million euro, and also a decrease of the receivables from long-term construction contracts by 13.5 million euros. Well, in order to summarize what we see for 2011, where we see challenges, where we see opportunities, I still do believe that we will see a stagnant world market 2011 on a very high level. So we do expect something between 18 and 20 gigawatts in 2011, given a reduction of the German market probably down to 5 to 6 gigawatt in 2011 and a further decrease to 3 to 4 gigawatt from 2012 onwards, coming from the highest market ever in Germany from 7.4 gigawatt in 2010. We see challenges in the key European market. I mentioned it earlier, Germany, France, Italy, with the new programs, with the new feed-in schemes, including United Kingdom, where in some cases we do not even know exactly how these feed-in change tariff changes are going to materialize. I give you one example. It's not yet clear how the tendering process in France is going to look like for large-scale projects. Also in Italy, the large-scale project business is going to be capped, and it's not fully clear how this is going to work out in the future. So the general trend is what we already experienced by the end of last year, that large-scale projects are generally being pushed back in Europe, and we believe that roof-mounted installations will become key on the European markets. But we also do see some opportunities in 2011. We believe that we will see a boost in renewable energies, including photovoltaics, after the meltdowns which we see in Fukushima. We see already changes in a country's policy, first indications that there could be and will be a move towards more renewables. This is very clearly pronounced in Germany. So there will be a comparatively fast exit of nuclear energy in Germany, let's say in the next 10 years, and there will be much more emphasis on renewables. There is a focus currently of the government on offshore wind. Nonetheless, I think the situation for photovoltaics will turn out to be much better in 2012 and onwards than it would have been without this nuclear catastrophe. I have jotted down some examples here. We do not anymore expect a hard cap in Germany. And second, we also do believe that the feed-in tariffs, which are foreseen in the current EEG, might also continue for 2012 onwards. And there was a high risk that there would be some further very hard cuts to be seen by 2012, and also a high risk of a hard cap, and this seems to be off the table. And I also wouldn't exclude that we could see a revival of large-scale PV power plants in Germany. I've got signals from some of the governing parties in Germany that this issue of large-scale power plants will be an issue in the political discussion in the next weeks to come. Also, even if I have a look at the Italian feed-in tariff scheme, I believe that this has also already been influenced positively by the Fukushima disaster. The current feed-in tariff scheme looks much better than the initial draft, so this could also be an outcome of the nuclear disaster in Japan so far. But nonetheless, and I also pointed that out earlier, we do see larger and growing business opportunities in non-European countries, USA, Asia, and Middle East. I mentioned the number of projects we are currently doing contract negotiations in this area. And we also see in the last weeks modules, but also inverter prices moving down very rapidly, which can indicate that if we've worked off the inventory level, which is still too high, then we will be in a position to do larger projects in Europe at a much higher profitability than now. Well, this is the end of the presentation, and I'm happy to take your questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A period. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 9-star on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press 9-star. The first question comes from Katja Filzek from Deutsche Bank. May we have your question now?
Yes, hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking the questions. Maybe I start with a question on your net debt situation. It is kind of significantly increased and was the highest increase over the last couple of, let's say, even in history quarters. And there especially, I would like to know, what do you think, how you can, and when do you can you provide us a timeline when we should expect that net debt coming down and what your measures would be? Should we expect more selling out of inventory at low prices, low margins, so a kind of, let's say, focusing on cash instead of a margin, which could then also maybe burden Q2 and maybe Q3? And also related on that issue, if I especially look on the accounts payables, usually in the first quarter you have billed them up, and I would like to know why in this quarter they were decreased by 30 million euros. Is there a special thing behind? Because I would have thought if you have a very bad Q1 and you see revenues not developing according to plan, that you would, virtually not pay any bill and would ask your suppliers also to allow you for longer payment terms. So it would be great if you can also give us a feeling here. And also, lastly, on the inventory situation, could you maybe give us also a split how much of the inventory level is dedicated to your power plants business, how much is, let's say, systems business, and then also is there a special item we should be aware of that it's a high amount of inverters or a high amount of modules, and maybe could you give us also some plans on the current inventory book? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the question. I would like to point out that I only want to take two questions in order to allow also the others who want to pose question, give them the opportunity for doing that. So we'll ask these one, and I think these are three. If you take the inventory situation, you mentioned it several times, but next, please stay with the two questions. As far as the net debt situation is concerned, yes, of course, it increased due to the build-up of the inventory, and the clear target is try to set liquidity free and try to bring down the inventory as quickly as possible, and this is what we are currently focusing on, and this may well be, as you indicated, that the focus currently is more on cash than on margin, and this could also be a burden to Q2, I would say. I don't see it for Q3 at the moment, but Q2, I would say there is a burden. A majority of the inventory is already sold, and we have contracts, valid contracts for that. So I think this will be sorted out in the course of the next couple of weeks or so. As far as the account payables is concerned, well, it's very simple. We have stopped delivery for the time being, given the situation which we have in our inventory. There currently is no need for new products. We will work off the inventory first and only currently take products on board when we don't have, when these products are definitely needed. And if we don't have it in the inventory, then we purchase smaller quantities of product. But in principle, we try definitely to avoid purchasing products as soon as long as the inventory high is high. Your question about how the inventory looks like, there is a majority of modules, but also some significant volumes of inverters. However, there is no allocation to any segment at the moment. This is not needed. very clearly all segments can sell on a first-come and first-serve basis, and this is what the segments are currently doing. When we have worked off inventory and when we come back, let's say, to normal, then the situation is going to change. Then we can really dedicate some products to the individual segments, but currently that doesn't make sense.
Thank you.
Mr. Ellis Acklin from Jefferies, may we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon. I'll limit it to two questions. First, I'd like to address the fixed costs, the operating expenses. If I look at them and adjust for the $1 million you recognize for the U.S. startup, to me it appears your human resources and other operating expenses went up 33% year-on-year compared to last year to about $12.8 million. And I'd like to know what was behind that, and is this an absolute level that we can count on in the second quarter and going forward? Second question would be, given that we're already at the midpoint of the second quarter, what is your feeling for how much of a pickup we can have in sales quarter-on-quarter compared to the first quarter? Thank you.
Okay, to your first question, fixed costs, they have been built up in year-on-year, so the typical seasonality is when you're preparing for the year to come, then you hire people already end of last year, beginning of the year, in order to prepare for the expected market to come. We have now seen that in the first quarter it didn't materialize as expected. The market was weaker, and also second quarter doesn't move as expected. So we are much more cautious on hiring new people, as you may understand. So this build-up of personnel cost was based on an expectation on more dynamics of the market beginning of this year. As we have already indicated in our press release, we have taken significant measures to cut cost. A couple of million cost reduction potential we have identified in the course of the year, so we are working on that and bringing costs further down. What we will not do is lay off people. Because we believe that it's just a seasonal weakness of the market. We do expect the market to pick up latest in the end of the second, beginning of the third quarter, and then we need to have those resources and experienced people available in order to be able to realize the development in H2. The second question relates a little bit to our expectation about pickup in sales in the second quarter. So the second quarter sales will be materially higher than the sales in the first quarter. However, as we don't provide quarterly guidance, as we don't believe with the seasonality of the solar business, that doesn't make sense. We calculate finally a revenue and EBIT at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Katerina Koleva from WestLB, may we have your question, please?
Thank you. Good afternoon. I have one question referring to your very last statement during the presentation regarding price development for modules. It would be great if you could be a bit more specific. Can we expect a double-digit price declines in the market for components? Do you see real commitment from your suppliers to lower prices? Thank you.
I would say the double-digit price decline, we already have it since the beginning of the year. And the question is if it's going to continue or not. And we have two parallel movements. One is the movement of our supplier with bringing prices down. This is a movement about where prices go on the spot market. And on the other side, it's also a question where selling prices are going to go. As I mentioned also in my presentation, I highlighted that the price declines which we have seen in the beginning of the year were not sufficient in order to compensate for the feed-in tariff cuts in Germany. And as a consequence, the market didn't really kick off. In the meantime, I think prices in Germany on the German market are at the level where the market can kick off. So the price level which we have reached right now these days in Germany can allow the market to pick off.
So you would say the prices that you now agree on with your suppliers reflect current spot prices. I mean, we currently are in a phase where wholesalers clear their inventories. So we might see strong pressure on prices, which is only temporary, because when the inventory is cleared, we might see prices go up again, because suppliers are not willing, module component suppliers are not willing to commit to the prices we have now. Or would you say that prices will stay at the low level?
No, usually you're completely right. The tendency is, if there's inventory clearing through the value chain, and this is not only an issue for system integrators, that's also an issue for some module makers, as we know, then prices move down to a level where inventory needs to be cleared, and this is more cash-focused than margin-focused. But as soon as the inventory is cleared, then prices either stabilize or even move up to a level where they can stabilize to the end of the year. So we will see a dip, and I believe we are very close to the dip, to the minimum value, and then we can see a stabilization of the prices. What we need at the end of the day is a compensation for the feed-in tariff cuts. So when this is finally going to take place, I don't know yet. The spot market prices are, which we partly are being offered on the module level, are extraordinarily low. And I believe they are so low, they are below cost, and I don't believe that they can stand for a very long time. So there are two kind of offers, spot market extremely low, but let's say more volume-oriented offers, which already indicated do double-digit price decline, and this is a more long-term price-based, and I think these prices will be maintained up to the end of the year, so highly likely.
Thank you.
Ms. Lauren Likuinen from Commerzbank, may we have your question, please?
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, just to inquire a bit more on pricing and contracts. Just would like to get more color on the flexibility that you're seeing in your contract discussions or signings with your suppliers. And then secondly, just on that 200 million order backlog that you mentioned, how much of that is free order backlog?
But the pricing, as far as the let me ask the second question first. The total number of about 200 million, a large portion still is power plant business, of which some of the revenues have already been recognized under percentage of completions. We do calculate the free order backlog typically on a monthly basis. This is the data from the 8th of May, so I do not have the exact numbers, but I suppose it could be, I would say, around total around something between 17 and 100 million, because the order backlog in the components and systems business, where the 100% is free order backlog, this accounts to 55 to 60 million euros. So that means that's already higher than the free order backlog was at the end of the first quarter.
Sorry, just to confirm, so 70 to 100, 70?
That's my guess, because yep. We calculate this one on a monthly basis, and this was the data, let's say, in the middle of the month. This was
okay. The
data of the 8th of May. But as I indicated, components and systems, order backlog is 100% free order backlog, other than power plant business. And as there, the order backlog was 55 to 60 million, it's significantly higher than in the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
Coming to your first question about contract pricing and flexibility in contracts, well, at the end of the day, all suppliers very clearly do know how the market situation looks like. They know very well what's going on the market, and when they want to sustain on the market, they know that it doesn't help to push products in the market at any price, and which would be very detrimental to their customers. So basically, all suppliers are willing to discuss, and they're willing to negotiate, and show the flexibility which we need in terms of volumes and also in terms of pricing. And as I indicated in one of the earlier questions of Ms. Filzek, as far as account payables is concerned, we more or less have blocked taking further products on board, which also indicates the flexibility of our suppliers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Christian Rath from HSBC, may we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon. Just two questions on the price declines. Is there another risk for inventory write-downs in the second quarter if pricing declines so rapidly? And do you see comparable price declines for inverters and the other BOS parts, like for modules, or is there a difference between modules and inverters? Thanks.
Well, very clearly, and we pointed it out several times in the course of the call, the current situation is clear inventory more cash-focused than margin-focused, so this is, of course, some risk that further write-downs may occur in the second quarter, no question. For us, it's important, but not only for us, for the industry, it's important to get air to breathe. Now you have to kick the stuff out of the warehouse, and then you have to make sure that you can purchase new products with good margin expectations based on the current price level. Module and BOS price declines do usually not necessarily move in parallel. However, we have seen inverter price declines already starting back in 2010 in the fourth quarter, so that means much earlier than the price declines which we have seen on the module side. This has been in the high one-digit percentage range by the end of last year, and we have seen other declines in the course of this year. Inverter manufacturers basically do have the same problems. There's still some inventory in the chain, so low command of inverters, low orders, and more competition on the market. So there's substantial capacity being built up in the last year. So inverter pricing has also come under pressure. As far as other balance of systems cost is concerned, you can do a lot with system improvements and better system design with supporting structure in cabling. However, very often this may be eaten up by prices of copper, steel, and aluminium, and this is world market prices, which PV can't influence in any form. So as a rough indication, if raw material costs move up, you can assume that BOS cost reduction potential is limited. And if these prices move down very significant, then you have a higher BOS cost reduction potential. But overall, and also going forward in the next years, BOS cost reduction potential will be much lower than cost reduction potential for modules.
Thanks.
Mr. Robert Schramm from Macquarie, may we have your question, please?
Well, I can't hear anything at the moment.
Hello?
Yes, now I can hear you. Mr. Schramm?
Yes, okay, yes, great, good. I want to know the sales from inventory that you mentioned. Since you're taking the write-offs, and you said it's more about cashing in than about profit margins, are you making any margins on these sales? Should we expect Q2 to be a loss-making quarter? And secondly, has net debt gone down since the end of the first quarter? And has it gone down enough so that we do not need to be concerned about renegotiations of your syndicated loan and potential covenants?
Well, as far as your first question is concerned, sales of inventory write-offs, the situation is not the same through all components in the warehouse. It's very different. So there are some components where you have to make write-down. Because the sales prices has fallen below the purchase price, but there are others where you can make margins. How this finally turns out, this can only be seen at the end of the quarter. Of course, sales tries, first of all, get rid as quickly as possible, but at the same time try to do some margins. But we accept losses in order to get rid of the margin, and this is also going to improve our net debt situation. The picture is mixed, and you can also not calculate on the basis of an average write-down of the inventory, because you always have to look very much into detail into the particular product, have to identify where the purchase price was, you have to identify where the selling price is, and then you can decide whether there's a write-down or not. So it can be very individual from product to product. As far as the syndicated loan facility is concerned, well, it depends a lot how Q2 and Q3 is developing. We have a, let's say, a rolling calculation of the covenants on the basis of four quarters. So if Q2 and Q3 is going to be weak, then this may be also an issue and may have a negative impact on covenants. I can't exclude that from this point in time.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Mr. Jean-François Maimandi from UBS, may we have your question, please?
Hi. Thanks for taking my question, too, on my side. First, in the U.S., you mentioned 1 million startup costs. Can we assume that to be linear over the year? And
excuse me, can we assume that?
To be linear, to be 1 million each quarter.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Second, on cash flows, it seems pretty much dependent on inventories now. Given that you said that module prices went down quite a lot and you are quite heavy in module inventory, what is the likelihood of further inventory write-down? Just assuming that you had to take a lot of thin film products and those went down also, are there some countries where you can have some projects at good prices now? Just on inventory write-down, can we
Yes.
make a point there?
Okay. So the first quarter losses in the U.S. operations of 1 million euro is not too far away from the losses which we had in the fourth quarter. So we do expect first revenue contributions from the United States in the course of the year, but it's, according to the plan, not likely and not highly likely that this will reach break-even in the course of the year. However, we are also looking at the cost-saving measures in the United States, and we are actively pursuing that in order to make sure that this situation or the Taylor loss is minimizing. The U.S. operation is, as you may know, or the U.S. market has been approached very differently by Phoenix than many other markets. Typically, we have started with other markets with a one-man show and building up the business sequentially, so that it was not realistic to mention the losses, which were very low due to that situation. In the United States, we wanted to make a flying start, and it was very clear that we're going to invest significant amount of money into the U.S. operations in order to make it going, because we believe that the U.S. market is going to be one of the biggest market in the next couple of years. So it's a large market, so it makes a lot of sense to go there with a lot of resources. But we also know that the U.S. market and the U.S. project development time frame is even longer than it's in Europe, so it's typically 2 to 3 years. So it means the lead time before you get first projects under contract and realized is also much longer than it is in Europe. So the startup phase in terms of revenue and profit generation takes longer due to the longer project development costs in the United States. The question with your cash flow and the influence on cash flow by inventory, I think I highlighted that several times during the last questions which we gave. Of course, there is risk of further write-down of inventory, and of course, cash flow situation is going to improve very significantly. If we can reduce inventory by 50 million, then you have a 50 million euro better cash flow. What I think is more interesting is your question with projects, as you said, at good prices, whether this is an opportunity for Phoenix Solar to do some good margins in Q2 and the forthcoming quarters, and the answer clearly is yes, it is. We have a very different pricing situation in different markets, and we are usually in a very good negotiation situation when we own the project rights. So as usual, that's not really new, but just to point that out. And those markets where we currently see very attractive margins is the French market. And as you know, we have currently two projects under construction and further projects under discussion where we do see very good margins. And we also believe that projects in Italy, if they should be realized by the end of August, do still have potential for reasonable margins. I think after August, or let's say it's going to be after the end of August, it's going to be a little bit more difficult on the Italian market, because you don't know if you fall under the cap and you have a lower feed-in tariff situation. Then we have to rediscuss project situation by that time. But it's different from market to market.
And just as a quick follow-up, you said module prices are below cost. Can you give us some level there?
Well, in the thin film business, they are, let's say, around a euro. And in the, let's say, purchase prices, yeah, and also partly selling prices from our side. So there's a lot of volatility in the pricing situation. And crystalline is about 10 to 15 cent higher.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Götz Fischbeck from BHS, may we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. You mentioned that you are about to implement or implementing a cost reduction program, and you said you've identified a couple of millions of cost reduction potentials, and they do not include personnel costs. Could you give us some idea, you know, where that would actually come from, given the fact that you're, you know, are not a manufacturing company? It's kind of interesting to see which areas you would actually address there. So please help us out understanding that better, and then I would have a second question.
Well, I don't think that I said it's no HR. I don't say we don't lay off people. But it has to do with HR, because we had some plans to grow and we had some plans of HR needs in the course of the year, and we have cut that back very significantly. So that means the number of people we're going to hire in the course of the year will be significantly below our original plan. So there's quite a significant portion of cost savings in HR. But what we have done is we have basically gone through all the cost aspects of the planning, and we have identified where we have cost saving, and this goes through basically all departments of Phoenix Solar. So none of the department is being excluded, and this sums up to the couple of millions which I mentioned. So this is it's in marketing, it's in corporate communication, it's a little bit in sales, but it covers really all departments of Phoenix Solar.
And then the second question of mine relates to the Italian market. Now, what I understand from the new regulation, first of all, the tariff that you're entitled to now really depends upon the grid connection time and no longer on the completion time of the project. So given the fact that from August onwards, or by the end of August, projects will then fall under the cap, how much, you know, time is there really left? I mean, how does financing work these times? Because I imagine that all of the financing institutes now first have to understand what this new scheme means, and that obviously if you should slip by 4 weeks, this could have dramatic impact on the return or on the profitability of such a project. So are you seeing, you know, financing being available for larger scale projects, or does everything have to be financed with equity up front and you can only then bring in the debt once the project is grid connected? Could you share some information on that for us, please?
This is the typical way to finance some projects in Italy, which we have also seen in the past, to pre-finance it with equity, and then you get the loan after the system is grid connected. That's an individual decision of the investor. That's not done by Phoenix Solar. That's the decision by the investor, whether he puts equity into the project and finally he looks for getting a loan facility. What this also my understanding, what you mentioned in your question, that the tariff now depends on grid connection time. It's not anymore on finalization. So that means that puts a lot of more pressure on getting projects done. There's the lead time when grid connection needs to be done, which is about 30 days. In order to be on the safe side, I think you need to finalize projects by the mid of July in order to be on the safe, relatively on the safe side, that you can get grid connection in by the end of August. That puts pressure on investors, and that puts pressure on system integrators, because it means you have a very short time frame now and window of opportunity where you can negotiate large scale projects now and start constructing so that they fall under the old regulation. I wouldn't say we don't talk about weeks, we talk about days. So in the next 1 or 2 weeks latest, I think all these contracts need to be signed in order to minimize the risk, and then they need to be started immediately. And then if you can make it or not depends a lot on your experience level on the Italian market. And we have just yesterday connected a NEON system to the grid in Italy, and we have had a very good learning curve, and we have had a very fast grid connection on the Italian market. So the learning curve could help us also, if possible, if the negotiations prove positive, to take a few limited projects under the old Conto Energia on board to be realized by the end of August.
And just basically as a follow-up, I mean, given the new regulation right now, would you have any assumption that you would share with us on the volume of the Italian market this year?
Well, very difficult to estimate something between 2 and 3.5 gigawatt, because the opportunity are there on the Italian market. You have an uncapped market for roof-mounted projects up to 1 megawatt. That's enormous. And as you may know, we have already last year been shifting more the organization towards roof-mounted installations. So we have a known department which fully concentrate of roof-mounting. We have built up this department. This is also, by the way, a part of the HR hire in the last half year, including the first quarter this year, in order to make this department operational. In order to more concentrate in Germany and other European markets of roof-mounted installations, we have been quite successful last year with a 6-megawatt project in Biadena. So there will be a shift, let's say, of focus by Phoenix Solar moving from large-scale projects in Europe to wholesale business and to roof-mounted installation, and there will be a shift from large-scale projects out of Europe to international markets in Asia, United States, and the Middle East.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Sven Kürten from DZ Bank, may we have your question, please?
Yes, thanks for taking the question. The first one is also on Italy. How large is your pipeline until August and in the power plant business? That's the first question. And the second one is on the 100 megawatt project under negotiations you mentioned. How much of that is related to the U.S.? Thanks.
As far as the pipeline in Italy is concerned, we are very cautious because of the ever-increasing risk day by day in Italy. We currently have, I think, 5 or 6 projects in Italy under construction. Some of them are under final construction. And we're talking about a handful or less than a handful of projects which we would start now or in the next 2 weeks in order to be able to finalize by the end of August. So we will surely not take a very high risk in taking a lot of projects now where the risk increases that we cannot finalize them by the end of August. So we're really talking about less than a handful.
So in total would be up to 10 projects then?
A handful is, for me, less than 5.
No, but you have 5 under construction.
Yeah, 5 under construction, but I talked about those which we might sign new projects.
Okay.
And this decision is taken in the very next day, so this could be that we take this less than a handful or we take none. So if we believe that finally the risk is too high for us and we can't find a good agreement with the investor, then we simply don't do it. So we will not take a risk which brings us, exhibits us to a high risk that we cannot make it by the end of August. To the question 100 megawatt, where are they? Those ones which I count are primarily Europe, Asia, some of the Middle East. It's not too much from the United States yet, so there are negotiations also going on, but they didn't take them into account. The guys over there have a clear indication that they should start with smaller projects in order to build up experience and build up operations. It doesn't help us when they start with a 10-megawatt project in the U.S. You always have to start small, and that is our best experience, which we had in all new market entries, be it a 1.4-megawatt in Spain, a 1-megawatt in France, a one megawatt in Italy, and also 1 megawatt in Greece. So in order to minimize the risk for the organization, it's helpful to start with small projects, and all the U.S. guys should do so.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Erkan Ajcicek from LBBW, may we have your question, please?
Hello, thanks for taking my question. My first one, a follow-up on Katja's one. Can you quantify how much megawatt do you have in your inventories? And my second one, you posted a free cash flow of minus 55 million in Q1. Can you rule out a capital increase in 2011?
Okay. The quantity of megawatts in inventory are still, I think, still in the inventory. Physically, they're sitting about around 80 megawatts, so very significant volumes. However, much more than 50% of the volumes is sold. So the sellout and signing contracts move forward very positively. Some of the inventory is already blocked for projects underway. We have announced the Le Castellet project in France, a 12-megawatt project a couple of weeks ago. I think in the next days or so, module installation is going to start. Then about 12 megawatts of modules are flowing out of the warehouse. I've been talking about the 2.7-megawatt project with Mia Sole modules with E.ON. This is also sitting in the warehouse. This is going to move to the project. So a lot of this is already covered by contracts. And as far as your second question is concerned, the cash flow of 54.4 million negative, I think we can, what we need to do is liquidate inventory. That's the most urgent thing, and I can rule out a capital increase for 2011.
Thank you.
Mr. Ahmed Zaman from Piper Jaffray, may we have your question, please?
Hi, this is Sean Lachman for Akmar. One question, just wondering if you can give us some commentary on how quickly you expect the Italian market can recover now that we have some feed-in tariff clarity there. Thank you.
Yep. Well, usually the experience with those markets is, and we have seen at various times in Germany, it's not like you put a switch from to the other side and then it starts immediately on the other day. So surely a lot of customers were withholding purchase decisions and say, well, as soon as the situation is clarified, then we start to materialize. We want to sign a contract, and then when we have the system installed. Particularly when this really takes place and if the new conditions are available like they are now in Italy, you have to do some recalculation, you have to go to the Italian banks, you have to discuss the current situation, you have to ask for financing, and usually that takes a couple of weeks. So I think this will be a smooth start and a takeoff of the market in the next weeks to come. So always there is some lead time before a market kicks in.
Mr. Michael Tapina from UniCredit, maybe have your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I only have one question left, which is the an update basically on your business in Eastern Europe. Last year you mentioned you have a 20 megawatts project in Bulgaria. What is the status there? And just generally speaking in Eastern Europe, how do you see the market taking up there?
Yeah. Well, Eastern Europe, that's a broad field of activities. I think you mentioned the 20 megawatt project in Bulgaria, which now surely is delayed for a year or so. So that means all the permission process lasted longer than expected. And also in the past, we started negotiation with a variety of customers, but there was still a lot of unclarity about the Bulgarian program, how it's going to continue. The situation now is that the Bulgarian program has been signed into law, so there's much more a better basis for decision making, and also the process of licensing has advanced now to a stage where we believe that in the second half of this year, this project of 20 megawatt is going to be built. So coming back to the 100 or close to 100 megawatt, which I mentioned several times, and where there are several questions on 100 megawatt pipeline, this project is part of the 100 megawatt.
Mm-hmm. And in other countries in Eastern Europe, do you see an uptake there, or is it similarly difficult?
Well, we do some projects in Slovakia and Slovenia, mostly focused on roof projects. So we, in Slovenia, we currently do a milk factory of about 500 kilowatts, and we have a pipeline under discussion of about a couple of megawatts there. But apart from that, we have very limited activities in the Czech Republic, in Bulgaria on the components and system side, and in other markets. We have salespeople there, but as you know, given the retroactive changes on the Czech market, we think that the market is very much slowing down this year, and it's it makes sense to continue business, but only on low profile. And also back in 2010, we have made no large-scale installations into Czech Republic because we didn't trust that boom, and I think it proved to be right with the changes which we see on the Czech market. So no losses, no large-scale activities on the Czech market last year. And, of course, no one in 2011.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
Ms. Ala Gorelova from Steubing, may we have your question, please?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. One question on your inventory write-off in the first quarter. Would it be possible to get information of how much of that was related to modules and how much to inverters? And the second question, not surprisingly, on Italy. If you are so careful and do not plan on taking too many projects, who do you think will be ready to take the risk to produce those 2 to 3 gigawatt installations this year in Italy?
I don't have the first question about how does the 6.1 million euros split up between inverters and modules. I don't have the exact numbers with me. I could figure that out, but my guess is that by far the majority is on modules. My guess is it should be more than 80% in modules and 20% in inverters, but if you like, I can check that and come back to you, let's say, by email in order to clarify that.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you.
It's okay. Second, Italian market situation, who takes that risk? Well, if you very often hear market volumes, 3 to 4 gigawatts, so very challenging market volumes in Italy. Well, the situation or the willingness of taking risk in the industry is different from organization to organization. There are companies building systems basically on their own account and then trying to sell that. I've seen that very often in the past, so this binds a lot of liquidity, and this is quite challenging if you do a due diligence and the investor says no at the end of the day. So those companies take the full risk. Phoenix is not willing to take this risk. Our idea generally is try to make a reasonable balance in risk sharing between investor and Phoenix and do not take 100% of the risk. So I'm quite sure that one or the other company is going to take much more risk than Phoenix is taking. But we are not willing to do. But I also believe that a lot of projects which are, let's say, almost readily developed will not be realized by the end of August. And a couple of investors or project developers try to push those projects currently developed into the capped part of the year starting on 1st of September. And let's say there is much a higher risk because you do not know which projects finally fall under the cap, under which conditions you will get these projects realized. So for this reason, I think there's a lot of unclarity of book, but of course everyone who has tried to develop a project who hasn't finished it and who doesn't start it now, he will try to get it under the cap. And under the cap, there are also quite some volumes possible in 2011 and 2012.
Right. So your estimate of 2 to 3 gigawatt is the best case.
I would say, I'd say 3 to 4 is definitely the best case. 2 to 3, I think, is reasonable because some installations have been made like we have done. There is also some projects not connected to the grid which come from 2011, which will be grid connected this year, which will push up the level of connected and installed systems significantly in 2011. So a significant portion out of that will come from 2010, right?
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Satya Kumar from Credit Suisse, may we have your question, please?
Hi, this is Mahip on behalf of Satya Kumar. My question is on Germany. You mentioned you're witnessing weakness in Q1. So is it due to seasonality or is it due to the panel prices are down double digits and the IRRs are not good enough for them?
I think it's both at the end of the day. We have seen customers having to absorb lower feed-in tariffs on various occasions, 1st January 2010, 1st July 2010, 1st August 2010, and 1st January 2011 without having seen in 2010 significant price declines on the system side. So that means in order to maintain a realistic IRR, customers are not any more willing to absorb any further cuts. So they want to see price declines on the system side, which brings them at least on the IRR level of 2010. This hasn't been reached in the first quarter. I believe now, in the meantime, we have reached that level, which allows the German market to pick up. But surely also, like at the end of last year, at least in the first 6 or 8 weeks of this year, the weather situation also played a role, but not the role which it played back in previous years, because since March, I would say the situation basically are quite positive for installation of solar, and the market hasn't taken off since that time, or let's say hasn't taken off since the end of August, and this may be due to the pricing effect.
And as a follow-up on that, how do you think the BOS cost and financing cost were in Q1? Did they impact the installation?
Well, BOS costs, without any question, had an impact, but they did not move as low as the total BOS cost didn't move as low as the module price declines. So as BOS can move down, let's say, on an average, let's say, per year by 6, 7, 8%, probably not more, due to a very much bound on the raw material cost of the world market, as I mentioned earlier, modules have to overcompensate the price declines to an extent that system price level is achieved, which allows for a reasonable IRR for the customer.
Okay, thank you.
Given the advanced time, we have now more than an hour. I suggest that we take the last question right now and then we finish the conference call.
Ms. Elizabeth Rasakova from Fortilis, may we have your question, please?
Hi, I have two questions. So the first question is, when I look at your guidance towards flat sales in full year 11 and around 25 million EBIT that analysts are forecasting, that basically implies that Phoenix will make 42 million over Q2, Q3, and Q4 at 7% EBIT margin. So my question is, based on the pricing right now offered by First Solar and others for Q3, Q4 delivery, is this margin assumption realistic? And then I have a second question as well.
Well, we haven't issued a detailed guidance yet because there's still a lot of unclarity about different markets. Think about the tendering procedure in France, unclear. Think about the cap procedure, how to fall under the cap in Italy, still very unclear from my point of view. So that's the reason why we haven't come out with a final guidance yet, and we also need to see how the market finally materializes and kicks in. But very honestly, I believe given the back pack which we have to carry from the first quarter with a negative EBIT of minus 17 million, in general terms, I think 25 million EBIT as an average, that's a bit optimistic.
Thanks. And my colleague has a question. He's, I think, next in the queue. Is that possible to take that?
Yes, we take the second question as well, yeah.
One second.
Yep.
Yes, hello?
Yep, hello.
So you have the second question for me?
Yep, because you are limiting. I just wanted to understand, a little bit about the contingency plan, you have in place in case, there is more financial strain on the company. Because historically, as a, from the shareholder perspective, we have quite liked the fact that Phoenix has kept a slightly conservative profile, and of course that's helping you to survive right now. But going forward, maybe banks may not be willing to continue, lending, and henceforth, it's very critical for preserving the shareholder value that there should be some kind of contingency plan. That's the way I was thinking about this, because the reason I think about this is, the real problem from Phoenix perspective, the way I see is that the pricing, the downward pressure on pricing is going to continue, considering the feed-in tariff change which you see for future for Italy. So the risk you run is that if you buy module again, you know, if you buy your inventory again after clearing this, and again there is a further risk of, you know, downward pricing, again you have to take a write-off, and hence the liquidity profile of the company can erode quite quickly. So, you know, if you can comment a little bit and, you know, make us feel slightly comfortable how we should think about this, that would be great.
Yes, I think I got the question. As first of all, as far as the financial situation is concerned, we all know, and this is the focus of the company right now, that we have to clear inventory. And if you take the 170 million euros inventory, which is by far too high of any reasonable size, if we are able to work down inventory, let's say, down to below 100 million or 80 million, that sets free about 80 million euro, and this is going to change the situation of the company very much. And this is what we're striving for. And I said that more than 50% of all products in the inventory are already sold. I think that looks good that we can work that off in the second and partly also in the third quarter. Your question with pressure on pricing is an issue. Also, if you look back into the situation in 2009, just to remind how it was back in 2009, there we had continuous pressure on pricing moving up to the end of August, and we had to make sure that whenever we purchased modules at a certain point in time, we had to basically sell them immediately in order to make sure if there's a further price decline that prices do not end below the purchasing point. So we tried to shorten the time frame between, let's say, delivery from Asia and the United States and arrival in Germany. One of the discussions which we had these days was to make sure that the module makers were starting warehouses in Europe in order to shorten the delivery time. As soon as the prices have come and have bottomed, or even slightly moving up, and we had the discussion earlier in one of the questions that this could definitely happen, and also believe it is going to do, as soon as prices are stabilized, we are out of that risk situation. As soon as this risk is existing, we have to try to find ways in order to make sure that we avoid this. One of the risks is what's being offered by the module makers or some module makers in the meantime is a kind of compensation during delivery times, let's say, from another continent to Europe. This, we have seen these kind of offers for the first time, and this can help us a lot in order to mitigate our risk in further inventory write-downs for new materials which we're purchasing. So that means some suppliers are willing, even if products are being shipped, let's say, from any part of the world to Europe, that before they arrive in Europe, there is kind of correction to the actual market price being made before we finally have to pay. So we see a lot of flexibility in delivery terms, in payment terms from the module makers, which is also an indication how much they're currently under pressure.
That's very helpful. And just going back to the first question.
Excuse me, we want really to limit to two questions.
No, first question, I was just going back to the first, you know, the point which I... basically, the first part of the question was that, you know, you have talked already about the covenants, actually. So I think, you know, that's where we are comfortable, you know, or, you know, who knows what happens. But considering, you know, these banking facilities come to an end after a certain time, and if your current banks is not, you know, willing to roll over, what kind of alternative we should think about the company would have?
Well, basically, I'm very optimistic that our banks will... Well, the point is, I think the banks in the meantime know very well how the solar market works. They know the volatility of the market. They know the situation from the past. You just need to look back to 2009. We also had a very bad start into the year. We made, about 8 million losses in the first quarter 2009.
Yep.
And at the end of the year, we increased revenue, and we were one of the few companies in Germany working profitable. So I think they know very well that this year is going to be back end loaded. And the question I think is more important is how Q2 and Q3 is developing and improving. I think if they see that there's a clear tendency for improvement in terms of revenue increase and EBIT improvement, I think it's a question of discussion and negotiation with these banks that they will understand the situation and also will help us further. If the situation should further deteriorate, which is a worst case assumption, which I personally do not believe, then of course it's going to be critical. But I do believe that we see a 5 to 6 gigawatt market in Germany. I do believe that we see a 80 to 20 gigawatt market in the world. I do believe that we see a 10 gigawatt plus market in Europe. And these are, by the end of the year, excellent conditions to see very good Q3 and Q4.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay, welcome. So I thank you very much for attending the conference call of Phoenix Solar. We are at the end right now, and I wish you a nice day. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This will conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation. Goodbye, and have a good time.